So our project is Lifestyle Change Initiative support needed to shift to a nutrient-dense, whole food, low-fat, plant-based dietary pattern on a college campus. And my colleagues and co-authors are listed above. It's Sarah Tindall, Dr. Ray, Dr. Wingert, and then especially Dr. Amy Lanou, who's with me today. Without her vision and support, this project really wouldn't have been able to come to fruition. And then also Rebecca Reeve, who's with us, who allowed me to throw a proposal on her desk and gave us funding from the North Carolina Center for Health and Wellness. So our project had three objectives. So we wanted to find an effective way to transition into a whole food, low-fat, plant-based dietary pattern, and then also to make that a permanent lifestyle change. Next, we wanted to look at the biometrics, and we wanted to evaluate whether blood pressure dropped, you know, was there weight loss, was there any changes in percent body fat, and then we also wanted to evaluate calorie and nutrient intake and just nutrient adequacy across the diet and the shift. So a little bit about vegan and vegetarian diets. Like, usually reduction in total calories happens without trying to restrict calories. It's just inherently is there. And by definition, calorie reduction tends to result in lower nutrient intake. And low-fat plant-based diets are often criticized for lacking nutrient adequacy. But we have shown in the research, past research, in really long studies, so like a year or 2 years, where individuals are trying to shift to a plant-based dietary pattern, that's low fat, it actually increases macro and micronutrients while decreasing total fat, cholesterol, and total caloric intake. So we took, and we're looking more on the short term with our study. So we're kind of mimicking those studies, but we wanted to see what could happen in like 6 weeks. So we're tracking calorie and nutrient intake and assessing changes in nutrient adequacy. We compared pre and post nutrient intakes to RDA AI or American Heart Association recommendations. So we was kind of lucky on an undergraduate level to actually be able to do a randomized controlled trial. So I had a lot of fun with this, learned a lot. I came in guns blazing without knowing much and worked it out. But we had two treatment groups, and then we had an untreated control group. So we started with 37 participants, and then we kind of whittled down, and we had 11 in each group by the end. We did a one-week baseline prep period, and then we did five-week intervention section, and then at 3 months we did a follow-up after that. The measures that we looked into were daily compliance surveys. We did those through SurveyMonkey. We did weekly biomarker checks for weight, blood pressure, body fat percent, and then also did a two-day food record and a nutrition habits questionnaire, trying to figure out what their lifestyle was like before, at the end of the intervention period, and then at 3 months as well. So this is our groups. We call them support, information. Those are our two treatment groups, and then just control for the control group. And the main difference, we asked both groups to shift to a whole food, plant-based eating pattern that was low fat. We wanted them to focus on that as well. We were kind of sticklers about it. And we gave the support group an actual 1 hour peer session where they came and they met with us. And we talked to them and helped them with their questions and motivated them and gave them cooking classes. And the information group did not get any of that. They got all the same written material and all the resources, just not that face time. And then the control group, we did not ask them to change their eating habits whatsoever. We just asked them to do the biometric check-ins, the food logs, and the questionnaire. So this is kind of we wanted to look at compliance levels. And we did that first by just doing self-reported data from the daily surveys. So we asked them, did you eat only whole plant-based foods today? And 81.4% of the support group said that they did, and then like 75% for the information group. And it was statistically significant difference between those two groups, so that alone can show that they, you know, coming in and talking with us once a week might have helped them be more compliant. And when they said no, it gave a drop down where they could list what barriers, so we could kind of help guide them and, you know, what they're struggling with. And it turns out that dairy was really what was getting in everybody's way, mostly cheese for the the biggest part, and then sweets after that and meat. So instead of relying just on self-reported data, we wanted to look at other compliance components. So we looked at how many servings of whole foods, you know, how did that shift? How did they change from their nutrient logs? And kind of most of my graphs are going to follow this pattern. So like support is going to be orange, information is going to be green, and control is going to be purple. The far left kind of solid bar is your baseline. The middle bar is your six-week intervention, and then the last one is your 3 months. So this is looking at the total number of servings of whole foods from vegetables, grains, fruits, legumes, and nuts. And support actually doubled at 6 weeks. So they went from about six servings to 11. And then they kind of came back down towards baseline, but not quite all the way. Information group started higher. They started at 8, but they still ended almost the same place as the support group at 11. And then the control stayed fairly consistent with six servings across the board. Then we looked at like each individual whole food. And then we wanted to include meat and dairy products as well. So for grains, for the support group, we actually went up to about 2.5 servings. Legumes went up to about 3 servings. And then what's kind of really fun to see is meat, dairy, and egg all dropped to 0. So at 6, there's no bar there because the number's actually 0. So that really shows that they were extremely compliant with the diet. And information group, legumes went up to like 2.1 servings, and then meat and dairy didn't go quite to 0, but really, really close. And I also like to point out that nuts on both of those are really, really low, or you can at least see like a reduction, though it wasn't statistically significant, just letting us know that they actually were trying to be low fat, even though they were still eating plant-based diet. And we looked at percent of calories. So our target for our macronutrient pattern was 75% of calories from carbs, 15% from fats, and 10% from protein, though we did not tell them that that's what we wanted them to do. We just kind of had that in the back of our head. So we wanted to see how close they came to that. And both support and information got to about 60% for carbs, down to about 24% for fat, and 10% for protein. And the information group already kind of started at a low level, but it was nice to see that they maintained that. And I really like, if you point out, if you look at like all three graphs, like my control group, it's like the perfect little control graph. Like they just did exactly what they were supposed to do and just stay the same. But so if you look at the baselines being about 42% for carbs and so forth, all of our groups started at the same. So it's just kind of to talk about the macronutrient shifts that we saw. Total calories dropped by 500 calories for both intervention groups and was maintained. Protein decreased from about 100 grams to about 52 grams for support, and then down to about 57 grams for the information group. And that's really important that, you know, often you think, oh, how am I going to get my protein if I'm eating vegetarian or vegan? And we actually showed that levels were absolutely fine. Total fat was decreased for both down to about 50 grams, and then dietary fiber increased to about 41 grams for support and about 40 grams for information, even though they started at a higher level. They still ended about the same as the support group. So looking at biometrics, we kind of had fun with this. We didn't quite expect to see any changes in 6 weeks. But so blood pressure and body fat percent stayed fairly consistent. Though if I had a body fat percent graph up here, you saw it like dancing across. So you could really see the two groups were actually moving, and then the control just stayed the same. But with our weight change, the support group lost about 5 pounds at the end of the intervention period and then maintained it at 3 months. And the information group lost about 2.5 pounds, but they did not maintain. So our vitamin breakdown and my minerals slide after this will be very similar. You see the 100%. We did percent of daily value, so we converted them all to percent so you could see it in one graph. So the dotted line across shows right at 100 where these nutrients landed. So if it's above the line, they met for that nutrient, and then if it's below the line, they did not. So at 6 weeks, most of the vitamins increased for both intervention groups, except B12 for support, and vitamin K decreased for support, though not below 100%, as did vitamin A as well for the information group. And at 6 weeks for the control group, all the vitamins actually decreased but went back near baseline at 3 months. So minerals, like I said, followed kind of a similar trend. And I just kind of wanted to point out that for support, iron, magnesium, and potassium, and then for the information group, iron and magnesium, all increased at 6 weeks. Though they did drop back near to baseline at 3 months, this shows that minerals are much more sensitive to slight decreases, slight changes in the diet, and these nutrients are considered, they really get plucked out as nutrients of concern when it comes to a vegetarian or vegan diet. But we show here, if you really focus on like the whole food component on the diet, you're not eating your processed vegan diet, that all these nutrients actually were met and at very adequate levels. So we compared how many nutrients met daily values, and if we didn't have a daily value, we used the American Heart Association guidelines. And just kind of a big picture without looking at the numbers, the first column is baseline for each group, and you can see the third column in is the six-week nutrients that were met. So just kind of at a glance, a lot more nutrients were met at 6 weeks, and then again at 3 months were maintained. And all of the nutrients at baseline actually carried over with the two intervention groups. So they didn't lose nutrients as they went through the diet. And this, the nutrients we were comparing to is at the bottom of the slide. This one shows you that, the points are how many nutrients were met at baseline, then at 6 weeks, then at 3 months. And then I've written in, typed in the calories, where the calories that they were consuming. So you can kind of see that at 6 weeks they were actually consuming the least amount of calories, but yet they were eating a much more nutrient-dense diet. They were meeting more nutrients even though they were eating less calories. So in summary, in 6 weeks, both intervention groups adopted a whole food, low-fat, plant-based diet and increased the nutrient adequacy of their diet while decreasing their calorie intake. They lost weight at the end of the 6 weeks, and so actually the support group maintained that weight loss. Both intervention groups improved macronutrient patterns with increased carbs and fiber, decreased fat and sat fat, though not all were statistically significant. And I also wanted to point out that I really wanted to include a slide in here on cholesterol, but it just didn't happen because the graph looked so ugly. I didn't want to expose you to it, but which is kind of a good thing. So the support group started at 240 milligrams and went down, plummeted to 3.2 milligrams for their cholesterol. And then at 3 months, they went back up to about 114. So you kind of see this dance throughout our research project where they kind of seep back towards baseline at 3 months, but they didn't go all the way back. So we can kind of tell we did something. You know, so the question here is, how does this intervention period need to be longer? What needs to happen to help them actually stay where they were at the end of the six-week intervention period? The information group also dropped down to 21 milligrams for cholesterol, so we're excited about that, and then went back to about 75. And then the control group just stayed right at 300 milligrams, you know, for the whole time. Okay. So both groups, support and intervention, improved their micronutrient adequacy while decreasing their caloric intake, which thereby improved their nutrient density of their diet. And that changes that happened throughout this research project were largely maintained by the support group, but not the information group at 3 months. So meaning that the support component that we offered them likely had something to do with, you know, higher level of maintaining and making this lifestyle habitual. And we also noticed that there was a lowered, they were eating a less nutrient-dense diet when you compared the six-week to the three-month period. So they weren't staying right there where they were when we left them alone. So for next steps, we looked at possibly using a three-day food record as opposed to a two, And then another step with that is really training the participants on how to give us their, you know, don't say you ate a ham sandwich. Like, you know, really trying to plug away at what they were eating or doing it ourselves by talking to them. 12-week intervention period instead of 6. And then include blood serum tests for cholesterol and triglycerides, and then do more of like 15 per group instead of 11. So in conclusion, a 6-week intervention period that provides info on how to shift to a whole food, low-fat, plant-based dietary pattern is effective in increasing macro and micronutrient patterns. The improvements we saw were largely maintained by the support group, and replicating the study addressing the limitations we spoke about will help determine if the support component is important for compliance and continuation of this nutrient-dense, whole food, low-fat, plant-based dietary pattern. So there's our sources. And that's Sarah on the left, Dr. Lanou in the middle, and myself.